from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this thirsty Thursday, Ed Norris likes to call this day
Friday, babe.
Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your day. You're almost to the at the end. That light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It's the end of the week. It's coming. Ed, how does it look right there on that side of the street? Because I can't see. Can you see?
I can't either.
I can't see. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate you sliding that open. Appreciate that, man.
I should have closed the damn thing is what I should have done.
Speaking of t-shirts, what is that? What
are you? It's my best Dirty Dancing t-shirt.
That's a Dirty Dancing
shirt? Oh, yeah, of course.
This is where, so this is Johnny Castle, and that's Baby, and they're doing the lift. Because, you know, they want them to do the Pechanga, but they want to do their own thing this year. So it's my favorite. You guys like it?
Yeah, I just noticed that.
Yes. I told somebody it's the gayest shirt I own, and Rob bought me a shirt. Said, woke up gay again this morning.
Missed that shirt.
I almost wore it out the other day, and I'm like, somebody's going to get offended, man. It's just like, it's funny. You
know? Where did I get that shirt from?
Is the last vacation or one of the vacations before that you went on? Where was it, down in Tampa?
I think it was, actually.
Probably. Was it Nashville?
Was it?
I think you're right.
Was it Nashville?
There's so many gay things about Nashville.
I think it was Nashville.
How do I get in trouble in this place?
What were you about to say? What was your guess? I thought you had a guess.
I thought it was Ocean City. For whatever reason.
I mean, like, there's
it was one of them. Yeah, it was Ocean City or Nashville. Definitely wasn't Tampa. They're not selling that shirt in Tampa. Come on, Florida? Selling that shirt? I doubt it.
I'm trying to think of the one my buddy had that was so funny. I remember it. It said, sounds gay, I'm in. It's a t-shirt.
Sounds I like bought fun. Jerry Coleman one that says, $20 is $20. He put it on immediately. $20 is $20. And he said, it's a free shirt.
Oh, man.
Oh, what's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Hey,
although
Jerry,
I had a great event last night.
Oh, that's right.
At Mount Washington Tavern. We had the Christmas in July toy drive. But a lot of people came out. It was nice. And did a great job. They donated a ton of toys and stuff. But we have a lot of female listeners.
Yeah, we do.
They had a whole bunch of them show
they
up
last
night.
They asked about me?
They did.
Wow.
Well, let's say they talk
they
about
have girls.
You. Let me put it that way.
They want to have girls' night with you.
Yeah.
I kid you not. Your name did come up several times.
That's okay. As long as they're talking about me, I'm good. When they stop
be relevant.
When they stop talking about you, got to worry.
As long as you're relevant, that's all that matters, right?
As long as you're relevant.
Oh,
it's absolutely true, though.
Orioles wet the bed again. We'll talk about that at 6:15, but fortunately, so did the Yankees. Man, the Mets are just beating them.
They beat them like six times this year or something.
How about Gerrit Cole has given up 7 home runs to them in 2 games?
Is he really?
Yes, 7 home runs. They gave up, I think, what, 4 the first time and 3 last night?
They scored 12 runs last night.
Mm. See, look at that face. See that Gerrit Cole face?
See? That face looked better when it had a beard on it. You couldn't tell how sad he was.
Yeah, not with those pinstripes. You wouldn't wear a beard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So you like that rule?
That verboten.
That you can't have a beard?
It's stupid.
I think it's kind of dated. I'm torn about it. I hate the Yankees. I'm so happy the Mets are kicking the crap out of them. But I do admire the Yankees. I think they have the coolest uniform history. I think the no names on the jerseys is awesome. And the no facial hair is kind of cool. It's just who they are.
I love the fact that they change with the times with everything except uniforms and facial hair.
Yeah.
Everything else, they change with the times.
Well, I don't like the facial hair thing. Like, the uniform stuff is cool.
Of course, but you wouldn't. Since the man with the...
Well, I mean, we all have... Rob's the only clean-shaven one. Every once in a while, you got... What is it? In the wintertime, you grow a little bit of beard?
In the wintertime, yeah.
But, like... You know, you're going to tell me that a guy can't, like, if you got to be.
Why would I want to hide this from people?
That's what I was telling everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now you know why I want to hide this from people.
What? Why? Why would you hide that beautiful face?
It's like I
said to him once, I go, you're the only man I know has lost 60 pounds and walks slower. So everyone can enjoy your beauty.
Take my time.
Because it took about 20 minutes to walk down the hallway to the studio one day.
Got to hit side to side.
That's when the building was full and everyone was here. So he's just...
Is he one of those guys that gets his car washed and drives 20 miles an hour slower so everybody can see it? Just got it detailed.
Yes. I don't see the problem is.
Rob, I'd never put you in a corner, man.
No.
Can't put baby in a corner.
Nope. Refers to the movie again. Right? You know, you're shirt.
I have such a weird fat. You know what? The Patrick Swayze fascination started when I was a kid.
That's really disturbing.
I thought, well, I'd go to the movies with my mom, and she loved them, so I'd go see all the movies. I've seen.
So you and your mom had a crush on the same person?
Basically, yeah. I wouldn't call it a crush. Well, that's a man crush, right?
Like, it is a man crush.
I mean, the dude did a movie about dancing and then ripped a guy's throat out in his next movie. Who's going to say something? And then he went back and made pottery.
I don't think a man crush is weird, though. I think every dude has one.
Yeah.
Like, I've got several.
Yeah. Mine was Ed until I started working with him.
I think that's the only non-weird thing about you. Everybody has one.
Cameron Jordan.
Jordan Cameron.
It just shakes it. That's weird, man. He's awesome.
That's weird.
So I just remember we had the guy that called in the other day.
Sunshines and rainbows when you see him on TV.
Talking about. Remember we had the guy calling the other day talking about the guys fighting in the car?
Yeah.
Was it all of us here or just us?
No, it was you. Yeah.
Here's the boxing in a telephone booth.
Oh, my God.
Look at these sports they're coming up with. It's just like, hey. Here you go.
This is so stupid.
It's the best, man.
They turn to each other's back, and then the bell rings. And they, oh, my gosh.
And they just turn around and just start throwing blows. You know, all you have to do is put two Mexican fighters in the ring. You'll get the same thing. They'll just throw blows until one of them can't anymore. You know, like, what are we doing here?
Oh, man, he beat him down, literally. So I guess as soon as the man drops, it's over?
Yeah. But you know what?
Like, that is brutal, man.
Even this, have you guys you watched the slap stuff, right?
Yeah.
We've all seen it.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
People get hurt in that. Yeah.
Well, like, it all matters on the size of your hand and when you hit them on the side of the head. Like, are we just supposed to be slapping them on the cheek? Because once you get ear hold, that bell starts ringing, man. Yeah. And you watch these guys drop. It's crazy. We got so many ancillary sports now.
Yeah. Ear hold.
Yeah.
You mean like them scream?
Well, like when he.
The parody of scream?
Get your head boxed. Oh. Yeah. With the parody of scream. Oh, man.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on Fan. Real quick, Jeremy, since you are the expert of wide receivers, will CeeDee Lamb get his contract this year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy got 80 some targets last year.
If he gets it, does Dak Prescott get paid?
Oofa. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there.
I wouldn't pay Dak.
I think I'm rubbing off on you.
I think, yeah, you are. That sounds gay.
I wouldn't pay Dak, man.
Yeah, but like, I get it, but if you don't have Dak, then what? Then it's the whole thing with these teams. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm sure the Cowboys are going, man, how much can we pay this guy? Because he's not bad, but he hasn't gotten where you want to. Yeah, Dak's not bad.
He's not bad, but not good.
But what's the other alternative? Unless you're going to go that
route. Suck against Sanders' kid next year.
that could be fine.
That's my choice. Hey, sit him on the bench. Start Trey Lance, win 5 games, get Sanders kid.
But you know that's not happening this year. I mean, they're going to try to make their run to the postseason and their win total.
They're in denial.
Yeah, I mean, they have no running game this
year. Somebody's saying CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver in football.
Those people lied to you. It's Justin Jefferson.
I agree.
If you haven't watched the receiver documentary series on Netflix.
It's good.
I haven't finished it quite yet. Mm-hmm. I was power watching it yesterday watching some mm-hmm. baseball games and when they got out of hand. Dude. When you watch Justin Jefferson and you watch Amon-Ra St. Brown, And even George Kittle. George Kittle's one of my favorite players. He's like naturally a third grader. You know what I mean? Like, yes. And he's not faking it. He's just happy and having fun. Every time Brock Purdy throws an interception, who's the first guy that goes to him and says, we're going to get him back?
Mm-hmm.
It's it. He's a phenomenal leader. But that whole series, all four of, or what is it, five of those guys, just amazing, man.
Did you watch the end of Presumed Innocent?
I did. And none of us.
I had no, not even an inkling.
By the way.
Of suspicion that it was that person.
I'm one of these guys that always thinks he can figure out the show.
And I thought his suspicion was it. Yeah. They threw you for another loop at the end because you think, okay, we solved it. And then, boom, no, you didn't.
Well, that's, my wife is laughing
at me. Like, you son of a gun.
The last 20 minutes of this, I was questioning who it was. Uh-huh. I changed my mind six times. She's like, which one do you think it is? I said, I'm covering all bases. I'm going to get this one right. And I still didn't get it right.
What is David Rubenstein thinking? Rich Dubroff sat down with him. We'll have him on the show at 7:15. Dubroff, one-on-one. Interview with the Orioles owner. But on the other side, Birds struggle in Miami again. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Two former cops and a con man.
It's the Big Bad Morning Show.
105.7 The Fan.
2-2. Instead, it's the slider. And it's a Marlins win. Identical 6-3 scores in the first two games of this three-game set against the first-place Baltimore Orioles.
That was really a frustrating game, facing a guy that walks 20% of hitters and has a 70 ERA. We're just, you know, we got a bases-loaded double, and that was pretty much it. So, yeah, none of our best at-bats.
That's courtesy of Bally Sports Florida. Now, you heard Brandon Hyde say, not our best at-bats. He's very frustrated with the offense. And it's funny because Joe and I were talking this morning when we got in. And Joe, you made a very interesting observation. Share that with us, please.
Was it the observation that they're 8-31 when they don't hit a home run?
Yeah, the one before then. You think they need a bat bad.
Yes, they are convincing me that they need help on offense. And I agree with you, Rob, in saying that Connor Norby is not going to save you. Jackson Holliday is not going to save you.
No.
None of these people are, like, you can't count on a 20 to 23-year-old kid to save you unless it's Mickey, the ghost of Mickey Mantle.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. We don't know if they can save us. That's
I don't want to rely on that.
I don't want to rely on that.
That's 100% fair.
Yeah. It's not going to be like Evan Carter joining the Rangers last year and having an insane postseason.
But it could be.
Most likely will not be because Evan Carter is not very good this year.
And again, if you think about it, it goes back to what I said yesterday. Why do you remember Evan Carter's run? Because it rarely happens.
I just wanted to start an argument with Joe like a child. Why?
Every argument you start is like
but why?
Argument with a child.
But why, Joe?
The offense is bad. You hear it in Brandon Hyde's voice. I do not want to be in that clubhouse last night. Didn't want to be there. Because if he's saying that to the media, then you know what he's saying behind closed doors.
It's got to be frustrating for him because this is just – the Yankees are still a game and a half back.
Yeah,
they get their ass kicked. You can't make up a half a game or a game on these guys?
Why won't you die?
It's like, come on. It's like it couldn't have been a better setup. The Mets have been the Yankees' number all year. The Orioles should have been able to – you should have been three games up now.
Yeah, three and a half.
Easily.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Jeremy, I love what Hyde said. This is not about tremendous pitching. You know, sometimes you hear Hyde say you got to tip your cat to the pitcher. But last night he said, no, this is not our best at bats. This is us. I'm not giving credit to the pitcher. We're having horrible at bats.
This is why it's so silly that we had the argument yesterday about when guys should play and when they should sit. You don't win every game when they play. And giving them time off does help them towards the end of the year. And when we're looking at it, you know, everybody was saying when we came back from the All-Star break, those first two games, it's like, oh, man, see that? A little time off and what was going on? And then you're right back to where you were before the All-Star break. But, I mean, sometimes this stuff's cyclical, but it sucks being in the midst of this, especially when you thought you got out of it, and now you're right back in it again. So there may be something said. We've all said they don't need a bat, but maybe there has to be something that goes down. Yeah. And if they can do a swap of players, like, you know, one of the everyday guys. There's something to be said for that.
And I know the game has changed, but there's certain things about the game that hasn't and shouldn't change. I respect all the launch angles and all those things. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that should be consistent in baseball, and they're still teaching it with young kids, early in the count, you don't swing at the pitcher's strike.
Right.
What I mean by that is, if the ball's on the inside of the plate and you're not that kind of hitter, and you have no strikes on you or one strike on you, don't get out.
Yeah.
Don't get out, because if he throws that with two strikes, then you're in trouble. But you should not be in trouble when you're ahead in the count or first pitch or the second pitch of the at-bat. It just doesn't make sense. Too often you see guys reaching, swinging at pitches that aren't in their zone early in the count, producing easy outs and letting the pitcher off the hook.
You started this by mentioning launch angles and light. There's so much analysis now. You know what your zone is.
Yes.
You know. Because you should,
know more now than any time.
You should know anyway, but now more than ever, because they're telling you, they're showing you. I mean, it's displayed on television. They'll show you where these guys are actually, you know, their sweet spot is. And you're right. If you can't hit that pitch and he's going to paint the black on the inside, don't swing at it. Hope for a bad call. Maybe the ump will screw it up and give you a ball. Like, don't just give it to him.
You also got to read the umps. Like, I'm not saying this is why the game went awry early yesterday in the Braves game, but umpire strike zone was like this big.
It was off. I know.
Yeah, did you see it? It was insane.
There was one call. I swear to you, there was an outside pitch. It was off the plate by like 4 inches. I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's just unreal watching some of these games where they are all over the place, and maybe that's where it comes to the robot umps and calling balls and strikes, and it makes it better. I don't know, but it is weird. So last night, like the Marlins starter, that's not a guy you're supposed to struggle with. And I know numbers can lie, and all these guys that we see at the major league level have some sort of talent to be here, and they can catch fire on any given day. I watched a guy that can't get strikeouts strike seven guys out, and I'm going, what the hell is happening today? So I mean, weird things happen in baseball, but that's not a guy you're supposed to struggle against that they faced yesterday. I mean, he had an ERA over 7.
It's a team you're not supposed to struggle against.
It's very frustrating to watch him. Again, if a pitcher comes out and he's on a heater and he beats you, that's one thing. But to watch this team beat itself, to me, that's the frustrating part. And again, you can hear that in Hyde's voice. You know, you can't, it's not Little League when you can call timeout when they're at bat and talk to him.
Right.
You know, you can't. Yeah. You know, you got to go up there and rely on them and hope that they do what they know is best. And right now, they're just not. They're pressing badly.
Terribly. Terribly. Yeah. This has been a bad run for a while now.
There is some good news, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the people that are online complaining about them losing the bad teams. None of those bad teams will be in the playoffs, so we don't have to worry about them.
True, they beat good teams.
Yeah. it's so weird. It's almost like we've talked about it, Rob. They don't have to hit the long ball to win. But some of the stats now are looking like
you might have to get one.
Yeah. So it's just, look, I hate seeing this, especially losing to the teams like the Marlins. The Red Sox are there losing to the Rockies. They got, what, they drop a 20 spot on them the other day? Was that yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
It's just, like.
And the manager gets his extension after the game.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about it beforehand. That's kind of funny how it came down.
They lost to a team that's 27 games out of first.
Mm-hmm.
27.
By the way, there's only one team with above a 60% winning percentage over the last 2 months. Anyone want to guess who that is?
Astros.
Nope. The Mets.
Yeah, it's grimace.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, remember beating the Yankees 17-5?
Yeah.
It was June the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
They're 11-16 since then.
But the Yankees are worse.
They ain't worried about the Yankees. I'm worried about us.
I get it.
But yeah.
But you're Yankees, I mean, you're still
Yankees had to be worse because I think the Yankees were in first place.
By like three games, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Headed into that series, maybe? I don't know. But look, I mean, we still have a lot of games left, and these teams have a chance to change quite a bit depending on what you do at trades. That's why this next week is going to be outrageous.
Anybody curious why the trade rumors are so quiet? Like, this is unusually quiet.
I think it's because all the teams are still trying to figure out. I bet there's been conversations going, hey, if we don't go 5-0 this week, call me Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? we're ready to sell. Yeah. So I'm assuming there's some initial conversations going on and teams are watching. Okay. I mean, because there's about 10 teams that have to take a healthy look in the mirror and say, yeah, we can make the playoffs.
But
more than likely, we're not going to win the World Series. And I know everybody that gets in has a shot. But you have to look at it, the matchups and things. Yeah. So, and you can still make trades and still make the run to the postseason
Two wild card teams went last year. I think this always factors into
that's
it.
That's why.
The last wild card team and the second wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to revisit this question from a week and a half ago. Will the Orioles' recent struggles force them to be desperate? Meaning giving up on prospects that they didn't originally plan to give up on. We talked about, I brought that up a week and a half ago, and we weren't as desperate then as we are now. So looking at things right now, are they desperate going into the trade deadline?
Yeah, it's funny. People are watching this closely because I said I was at the Mount Washington Tavern last night. I hung out with a bunch of guys in one corner for a while. The first thing, what do you think? Jackson Holliday, would you give him up? And they're going through all the different prospects. So people are paying attention to our minor leagues who are just, everyday fans.
Well, I think the Orioles have done a great job recently doing a rebuild, letting people know about who's in the minors.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, they used the minors as a tremendous smokescreen to the product that they had on the field. Mm-hmm. Well, during that time, we really dove into it and got to know these guys because they were more interesting at the time than the product on the field. But now, now that we know them, hey.
Yeah, man, these days suck.
Glad to get rid of them.
The only good thing is you got another game today.
Yeah.
You
at 12.
Chance, you got a chance to change some things, right?
You know, I didn't realize they played at noon today.
It's crazy.
I was watching MLB Network.
I didn't realize that.
Before the show, they said Orioles Marlins, afternoon baseball today at noon.
Where are they back home tomorrow? Or?
This weekend, yes. They have the
floppy hat day with the Padres.
Padres, that's right. The Fathers are coming to town.
Manny comes back.
Manny. That doesn't have anything anymore, does it?
I think so.
You think it's
the that was like, who's the best player we've had for the past 20 years, like talent-wise?
Manny.
I mean, I would agree. And maybe there's some changes coming here probably with the guys we have here now. But, going back and looking at it, that was the guy you thought he was going to change the fortunes of your franchise.
Mm-hmm. Until he didn't.
Yeah, well, they got to the point. Look, he was the type of guy that I think you should have paid or you at least should have tried to keep. But where they were at going into a rebuild, it wasn't going to happen.
I don't think it was them. I think they would have paid him before he left. And I think they realized this guy wants to test the market.
I'm not sure with ownership, man, back then.
It's a fair point. I still think Manny didn't want to be here.
Yes. There's always that possibility, too. But, again, it does – when you look at what you got back in that trade.
I'm just looking – I wish they could play the Mets five more times. The Yankees have – they just played the Mets, lost both games. They play the Red Sox, who are playing well, and then they hit the Phillies in Philly. So, again, you got a nice – couple of six games coming up. You should gain some ground in these guys.
Mm. Yeah, look, it's all going to depend, I think, a lot of what happens over the next week and who makes the first move, because that's when the dominoes start to fall. And even more so than the pressure of losing, Rob, I think if somebody makes a bigger move before them, be it the Yankees, the Astros, I don't think the Red Sox are going to do it. I think the Red Sox are going to kind of be like the Orioles were that year, where it's like, hey, we'll trade some pieces, but we're still going to try to make the run to the postseason. It's tough to say because I think if the Yankees made a big splash, that the Orioles would have to follow up with something relatively quick.
410-583-1057 is the number. Shovels at 7 o'clock. Rich Dubroff, he had a sit-down with Orioles owner David Rubenstein. He'll join us at 7:15, but on the other side, Lamar is back at practice. Munkin said he was impressed with how engaged he was in the offseason. Talking Ravens up next on the
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Man, I wouldn't feel behind either. That's Todd Monken, offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens.
Funkhauser.
It's Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? Come on, he missed a couple of days, first couple of days of training camp, for goodness sakes. I'm not all up in arms about this, now that he's back. Monken says he was impressed with how engaged Lamar was during the offseason. And do you think that means he takes more control of the offense in 2024?
I hope so. I certainly hope so, because all this mystery about whose fault is it is really driving me crazy. If he's got the ability and the authority to change things, I hope he does, because nobody sees it better than the man on the field. You look at him from the sidelines or wherever you're looking from, it's not the same. When you're standing behind the center, you can see. You're a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, in high school, I sometimes like to wave the coach.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you can see what's in front of you.
Yeah. Wave him off. No, that's not going to work.
Kyler Murray can't.
Jeremy, do you think the woes that we had in the offense when they popped up, it was because of a lack of control or a lack of good game plan?
Are you talking about last year?
It's
hard to say. Like, I went on a show last night and they asked me my thoughts on the Ravens not getting it done last year. And, we always go back to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said what I've always said here. I think they had an all-time team that didn't win a Super Bowl. It might be one of the best teams that I didn't see win a Super Bowl. So, there's a lot of questions they have to answer. There were a lot of pieces that moved out. Some moved in. I don't think some were as big as everybody wants to make them. But, yeah, this offense should be clicking. This, in my opinion, this should be the best offense in the AFC North. It should be. With the talent you have here, with your quarterback play, there's a lot of questions. Look, I understand what people are going to look at Cincinnati. We don't know what their running game is going to look like.
What their offensive line is going to look like.
And again, their defense was a sieve. So could Joe Burrow put up better, I'm doing air quotes, better numbers than Lamar overall?
I think Joe Burrow is that dude. Yeah. I think Joe Burrow, you're better. I think he's that dude.
I told you, he's a more talented Joe Namath.
Who, Burrow?
Yeah.
Well, no.
I mean, because of his flashiness, yeah. His cockiness. He's just a better quarterback.
Yeah, but the point is that I'm trying to make about the offense is you're going to have to factor in the running game and what they're doing and, how well the percentages look.
The Bengals?
No, I'm talking about the Ravens. Oh, right. Yeah. Looking at their offense, I think you're going to have to look at percentages per game instead of looking at the overall stats.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there when you mentioned running. Because when people look at offenses, they look at the quarterbacks and receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even look at the running games anymore. We just picked up freaking Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry. If you would have told me he'd be a Raven in the last few years, I'd be like, yeah, sure. He's on the team now.
And people are asking, like, is he really going to make that much of a difference?
Yes.
Like, these two guys saw more loaded boxes than any other players in the league, and they're on the same team now.
Right.
Like, they've done it separately, and now you have them on the same team. Barring injury, I think that works out. My concern for me is more on the defensive side, which sounds silly to some, but I need to see that pass rush. I'm sorry.
No, like, it's legit. I mean, it was a concern last year. How they led the league in sacks is amazing, but
what are you laughing about over
nothing.
There? What?
Nothing.
What'd you just set up?
Nothing. I didn't set up anything.
You got an S-eating grin on your face.
I did not set up anything. I made a comment to Joe. That's all I did. I made a comment to Joe.
I'm over it.
You're over it?
I moved past it.
Thank you. Build a bridge, man.
I ain't no bridge builder.
I would love for Lamar to have more control of the offense in terms of changing things at the line of scrimmage more.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know whether the playoffs was a result of him not having the luxury to or just not doing it. That's the problem, Ed. I don't know whether or not Lamar, because, and I always go back to Odell Beckham Jr.
It's 100% accurate.
Odell Beckham Jr. is not screaming for the man to change things up if the man doesn't have the ability in the system to change things up. I go back to that. Odell Beckham Jr. was to me, that was the key of Lamar Ken. He's just not.
Yeah, look that way. With him yelling at him.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at some point, if Lamar could not, doesn't he comment like, I can't? Or does he look frustrated or throw his arm up?
Right.
Because the way Lamar was absorbing that, it tells me that Odell Beckham Jr. was right. Lamar just didn't. Mm-hmm. So we keep screaming that he has more power, has more control. Maybe Lamar needs to take more control. Maybe that's the problem.
OBJ would know.
He would know.
He would know.
And he wouldn't be screaming for something that couldn't happen.
Yeah.
But the other thing he could be screaming is like, if you don't like the call, just change it. You know,
that's my point.
And here's the other thing with that, to Rob's point about, you know, I think a lot of us believe when Greg Roman was here, they were calling him plays late so he couldn't change it. Whether that's true or not, I don't think that was the case last year. We saw them getting lined up, having a chance to assess the defense, seeing what they're in. He should be able to have the ability to change plays and go to the route he wants, unless he's screwing it up. And again, there's sometimes we're not going to be privy to it.
He should take a page out of Bob Gibson's book, because Gibson always said, people ask him about, you know, what do you like with the catcher's calling? Mm-hmm. What do you do? Because the ball's in my hand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. Ball's in my hand. Do what I want.
I say that all the time.
Yes.
He had one.
Oh.
He said that was possessive, ball apostrophe, yes, not multiple. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rich Dubrov joins us at 7:15. He had to sit down with David Rubenstein, owner of the Baltimore Orioles. Be very interesting at 7:15. Shovels at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, top 25 players, according to ESPN, since 2000. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Hey, Rob.
This is not Green Day, but in a 7 o'clock hour, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see Green Day.
Oh, love. That's right. We will. Two tickets to see Green Day's The Savior Tour. They'll be celebrating 30 years of Dookie, Smash, and Pumpkins. And then we got tickets in the 8 o'clock hour for Creed. So stay tuned. Giving away tickets all week.
ESPN did top 25 players since 2000. Let me tell you who did not make the top 25 list.
These are the honorable
first
mentions.
The first five out. Number 26, Jonathan Ogden. I think we could throw this damn list away when the first two are Jonathan Ogden and number 27, Larry Fitzgerald.
If there's another offensive lineman on this list, then yes, you take
stay
his
tuned.
Ass off.
Well, there is.
Orlando Pace is 28, Marvin Harrison is 29, and Terrell Owens is 30. Now, I'm going to give you the entire list, folks, and I'll do it quickly. Number 25, Derek Brooks. Number 24, Tony Gonzalez. Number 23, offensive tackle Joe Thomas. Number 22, Warren Sapp. Number 21, Marshall Faulk. Number 20, LaDainian Tomlinson. Number 19, Michael Strahan. Number 18, Adrian Peterson. Number 17, Brett Favre. 16, Troy Polamalu. 15, Drew Brees. 14, Travis Kelce. 13, Rob Gronkowski. Number 12 is Charles Woodson. 11, Ed Reed. 10, Darrell Revis. 9, Aaron Rodgers. 8, Ray Lewis. 7, J.J. Watt. 6, I sound like Partridge of Pantry. 6, Calvin Johnson. 5, Randy Moss.
Mosses.
4, four Peyton Manning. 3, Aaron Donald. 2, Patrick Mahomes.
And Tommy Brady
is number 1. Now, this is my problem with this. You said something about Brett Favre that to me kind of holds some weight to me. Go ahead.
Well, I think there's three guys on this list that don't belong in the top 25. And let me just say this. Anytime you're listing players this accomplished, you got to poke holes in it. And you got to look at it honestly. Like, so Brett Favre, a lot of his accomplishments came before 2000. So we're putting him on this list. He's got more interceptions than any player in NFL history. Oh, he's a gunslinger. So for 10 years, we're going to talk about him being a six-time Pro Bowler and having 104 wins. So that means he gets in the top 25. It's ridiculous. He has no business being on this list. When we start making the list of quarterbacks, the greatest quarterbacks in this league, I mean, his MVP before this, before 2000. So he's a guy that I don't think belongs on the list. By the way, when you're taking one off, you're putting one on. To me, John Ogden, and the other one that's kind of egregious that isn't on this list that should be up there is Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald should be where Megatron is.
Yes, 100%.
How could they possibly do that?
I think the world of Megatron, but when you're looking at accomplishments,
it's not Larry Fitzgerald.
I don't think Marshall Faulk belongs on this list. Marshall Faulk had 2 1,000-yard seasons. 2001. That's it. After that, he fell off. He should have been on the list before. It's almost like, well, he was great, and we didn't have a top 25 list of the 19. He does not belong on this list. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 1,000-yard rushing season. 5 of them was before 2000.
How is Antonio Gates not on this list?
Exactly. It's like these are great players, but they don't qualify for this.
Look, I guess I don't think Pat Mahomes should be ahead of Peyton Manning.
I mean, it's kind of tough. Like, I understand.
Body of work isn't, he's great right now, but Peyton Manning did it forever. Like,
yeah, Peyton Manning's got, when you're looking at the records and things like that, he's got a bunch, some of them that Tom Brady broke, some of them that Drew Brees broke. And I was thinking about Drew Brees. He definitely belongs on this list.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just kind of comparing because there's so many great players.
All of Warren Sapp's accomplishments are individual accomplishments before 2000.
And that's the other guy that, with all due respect, I don't know that he belongs on this list when we're talking about it.
They belong on a list of great players, just not, under these circumstances.
Yeah. And there's plenty of other players. Like, could you have put Lamar on this list with his two MVPs? Sure you could have.
Yeah.
Does Aaron Rodgers belong as high as he does? I would say 100% yes, because I think people are realizing or looking at him as what he's been. Just go look at those stats, man. And he's got 4 MVPs.
I got to go back to what Ed said.
What?
I agree with Ed. I couldn't wrap my brain around when he started, but Peyton Manning definitely belongs ahead of... man, are you crazy? Peyton Manning definitely belongs ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
Prisons of the moment.
Peyton Manning has 5 MVPs.
Yeah.
After 2000.
Yes.
5 and 2 Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, he's got more MVPs. Isn't he the leader all time?
Yes. He has 5 MVPs. He has 1, 2 Offensive Player of the Years. How many times have people went Offensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same year?
Now it
doesn't happen.
Yeah, now it's become that goes to the best offensive player that's not a quarterback.
He got it.
Yeah.
He got him. He did it twice.
Well, that's like saying, hey, we really wanted to give you the MVP, but we need it. You've got it a couple times. Let's give it to somebody else. Because he could have won more, and I'm not saying he should have. It's so funny hearing you guys defend Peyton, and I'm okay with Mahomes being
who
in front
cares
of
about
him.
Pro Bowl? He was 7 times All-Pro.
Yeah.
7 times All-Pro, dude. Come on, dude. In 17 years, you're 7 time All-Pro? That's ridiculous.
Even Aaron Rodgers at 9, he's a 4-time MVP.
Yeah.
Again, how's Calvin Johnson ahead of him? And like,
wow, Peyton Manning had more All-Pros than Tom Brady. So maybe he should have been one. I don't know. Maybe he should be at the top.
I didn't say one.
Oh, were you thinking two?
Yeah.
But look, if you're looking at Pat Mahomes and I understand you can't sit here and say he's going to do this, this, and this in the future. His accomplishments, he has more accomplishments in his first 5 years than any player in NFL history.
That's fine, but it's still not more since 2000 than Peyton Manning.
Though. Okay.
Just not.
I'm just not as mad at it.
Are we okay with Ray Lewis being 8 and Ed Reed being 11?
No, because J.J. Watt's in front of Ray Lewis, and J.J. Watt's not a better defensive player than
Ray Lewis.
I don't
think so either. Yeah. I don't think Calvin Johnson belongs in front of Ray Lewis.
No,
but Calvin Johnson wasn't the catalyst for a championship team. Ray did it twice.
Calvin Johnson 100% should be on this list, but Larry Fitzgerald should be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis should be ahead of him. You know, like, I understand the difference maker he was, and you can talk about him at the wide receiver position.
But was he a catalyst to a championship team?
No, but it's kind of hard to hold that against a wide receiver, though, right? Quarterbacks get that. I don't know that you can put that on a wide receiver, because I've said this before, and I know I'm biased towards wide receivers. I'm always going to be. But they can do everything right and still not get the football.
Yeah, and I'm biased toward defensive backs. I think Ed Reed deserves to be behind Darrell Revis. And I love Darrell Revis.
And I'm not saying that wide receivers can. I'm not. So I'm not really holding it against him. I'm saying Ray Lewis did it, though.
No,
Again, he actually did it. So just because you can't hold it against Calvin Johnson, you can credit. You can give credit to Ray Lewis for actually doing it. Ray Lewis is, I mean, come on. And it says 2000?
Can I say something? If you're going to sit here.
No. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If you're going to sit here and give all these accomplishments to somebody like Brady, which he absolutely deserves, Rob Gronkowski should be in the top 10. Guy might be the greatest tight end of all time. Go look at his numbers. Yeah. Look at his Super Bowls.
I think he's the best tight end ever.
And, you know, some of these guys may come along and surpass him and what they do and how they're, you know, like we've seen more tight ends being split out wide as wide receivers now and being more involved in the pass game. And we were talking about it yesterday. How many tight ends could you look at in this league and say they're great at blocking, they're great in the passing game? George Kittle's the one that always comes to mind, but I would sit here and say Gronkowski was that guy too. And that play that they ran, people are... All of his body and his movement set up all that underneath stuff for all those little wide receivers they had. They were running off his ass and getting wide open with the illegal/legal rub routes.
Okay. All right. Calvin Johnson, 3-time All-Pro. Ray Lewis, 7 times All-Pro. 6 of those All-Pros came 2000 and after. Come on.
Aaron Rodgers, as nutty as he is. He's, you know, you could argue he may be the second best quarterback of all, the third. I mean,
I could make a case he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's got the greatest touchdown interception ratio in history.
Yeah.
He's a 4-time MVP. I mean, how could you not?
Well, so we start looking at some of these stats that we're throwing out. Super Bowls to me is a team accomplishment, even though more goes on the quarterback.
That's why I'm going at the All Pro and things like that.
And that's why that's perfect, because now you're competing with everybody. Yeah. And
everybody can win that.
Yeah.
Everybody can win that.
So
Ray won 7. I'm 6 of them from 2000 on.
Ray is the best player at his position in the history of the game. Calvin Johnson is not. He's not.
Right? And I don't have a problem with Revis being ahead of Reed, although I would have Reed ahead of him.
I would have Reed ahead of him.
Do the Baltimore Orioles need to search for a bat before the trade deadline? We'll talk about that at 7:30. But on the other side, Ed Norris, you got shovels?
I do. I've got another. It just, the hits keep coming out of that state. That's another thing.
40.
Yeah. Into the Florida story.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovel's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.